First Thessalonians chapter 5. Please join with me in a word of prayer. Father, we come again this morning, Lord, to enter into your presence. And Father, to hear a word from you. Lord, we know that your word is so precious and that it has the ability to change our hearts and lives. Father, we pray this morning that you would change each one of us. Father, none of us are at the place that we should be. Lord, we pray that you would bring us closer today to that place. Closer to yourself, Lord. And Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray that you would guide us through your word. That you would touch us. That you would help us to understand what you've spoken to us, Lord. And Father, we pray that today we would be more willing to live for you than we were before today. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you ready for Jesus to come back? Are you ready for the Lord's return? Yes. At least most of you seem to be. Some of you kind of got lower in your seats as I said that. The truth is, whether we're ready or not, Jesus Christ is going to return one day. Whether you're ready or not, the Lord will descend. And whether you're ready or not, Jesus is going to come back again. Last week we looked at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the doctrine of the rapture of the church, the catching up of the believers to be with the Lord in the air and to go home and be with Him. A glorious experience, a hope that we have as believers in Jesus Christ that He will come again like He has promised to take us home. If I go away, I'm going to prepare a place for you, Jesus said. And if I go away, I will come back and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. I look forward to that event that we studied about last week, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But today we come to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're continuing this discussion of really the return of the Lord. End times events, as some have called them. This issue of what will happen in the future. And the good news today is that God has told us in His Word what is going to happen in the future. That's good news, amen? We don't have to wonder what will happen. We don't have to wonder what will take place. God has told us. Today we'll be considering some of these things. But join with me in verse 1 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing." You notice here in this passage that Paul is talking again about a future event. An event, as he says it, called the Day of the Lord. That may be a new phrase to some of you, the day of the Lord. But what exactly is he talking about? In fact, throughout the Bible, we see this phrase used time and time again. In fact, 31 times. The day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. Well, the day of the Lord is a good thing for us who are believers, but it is a very terrible thing, a very sad thing for those who are not believers in Jesus Christ. Let's go to a couple of scriptures in the Bible and I'll explain what I mean by that. If you'll turn your Bible to Isaiah chapter 13. You know, usually at Calvary Chapel, I hand out the notes and I usually put the verse reference in the notes. So, and I think it's kind of caused us to be a bit lazy when it comes to turning in our Bibles. So I thought, you know, we will be lazy no more. We're going to turn in our Bibles. Isaiah chapter 13. We'll begin in verse 6. And as we read these few scriptures, it is my prayer that we would be touched about the seriousness, about the reality of the day of the Lord that is yet future. It says in verse 6 of Isaiah chapter 13, "Wail, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It will come as destruction from the Almighty. Therefore, all hands will be limp, every man's heart will melt, and they will be afraid. Sharp pains and sorrow will take hold of them. They will be in pain as a woman in childbirth. They will be amazed at one another. Their faces will be like flames. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel, with both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he will destroy its sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth. The moon will not cause its light to shine. I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will halt the arrogance of the proud and will lay low the haughtiness of the tyrants." Did you get all of that? Here we see the day of the Lord is actually a very terrible thing for many people. A day, the Bible calls it, of vengeance. A day of wrath. A day of judgment from the Lord upon a world that has rejected Him. And today, we are not living in the day of the Lord because the Lord is long-suffering. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He is waiting and waiting and waiting so that each and every person who will believe comes into the kingdom of heaven. And I praise God for that. I praise God that this event, this time of judgment has not yet come. I praise Him. Because if it would have come just 10 years ago, I would be one of these people being punished. But today I will not be. The Lord is waiting for people to come to Him through Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son that whoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. He's waiting, and today I hope, I assume most of you are believers in Jesus, but today I know and I hope that some of you who are not ready for Jesus to come back, that you would get ready today. And some of us, I said us, including myself, who are ready for Jesus to return, that we would prepare our life, that our life would change, that we would live in always considering these events. You know, it's easy to forget about the Lord. It's easy to forget about His Word, especially when you're working, you're talking, you're playing, you're at school, whatever you're doing. It's easy to forget that someday soon there is going to be a terrible judgment upon this earth. Soon. And it is my prayer today. I prayed that God would touch our hearts and let us know the reality of the Word of God, of the things that He has spoken about, so that we can be ready for the future. Joel chapter 1. We're turning our Bibles again. Here we go. The book of Joel, it's there in the Minor Prophets, those books that are very difficult to find. You see what I have here? It's a little blue sticky. I put it here so I could just turn. I wouldn't have to find it. That's cheating. Joel, the book of Joel. Hosea, Joel, Amos is the order. So if you can find Hosea or Amos, you just look in the middle. There's Joel. Joel chapter 1, verse 15. Alas for the day. For the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as destruction from the Almighty. Turn to Joel chapter 2, verse 1. Blow the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains, a people come great and strong, the like of whom has never been seen, nor will ever be any such after them, even for many successive generations. Skip down to verse 28 of Joel chapter 2. These verses may be familiar to you. It shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and my handmaidens, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and on earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That is the message that the prophet Joel was writing to the people of Israel, a message that applies to us today before the day of the Lord, before these things happen. Judgment, blood, fire, pillar of smoke, all of these terrible things that we read about. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's the good thing about Jesus. You can always call upon His name and be saved. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. There is the Apostle Peter also talking about this day of the Lord. Concerning the times and seasons, it says back in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. And the word of God here is giving us a warning, isn't it? In chapter 4, it gave us a hope, a desire that we have as believers. Jesus will come and receive us. The rapture. In chapter 5, it's giving a warning to the church, and also especially those, well, giving a warning to those in the church, I should say, who are not really part of the body of Christ. Someone once told me this, and I believe it's true. Not everybody who comes to church is a Christian. Not everybody who goes to church on Sunday morning is saved. Did you know that? We have this place in the United States called McDonald's. They have it other places too. They sell hamburgers. And one man said, not everybody who comes to church is a Christian, just like not everybody who goes to McDonald's is a hamburger. The church is full of people who are not ready for Jesus, who are not living for Jesus Christ in their lives right now. Full. And the word of God is sent here to reprove us. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. To rebuke us. To exhort us. To live for the Lord Jesus Christ. You yourself know perfectly the day of the Lord is coming as a thief in the night. And that is a warning. A warning to say this. That Jesus is coming back at a time that you don't know. I forgot to ask Anthony if I could share his story this morning. Can I share your story about that? Okay. He told me the other day he was in his home at night. It was late at night. And he was still awake doing some things. The light was on. And he heard some rustling outside of his house, you know, some banging, some knocking. And he looked out of his window, and there was a thief trying to break into a storage room. So he looked out there, and then the thief kind of looked around and saw him and got afraid and just ran off. I think you know thieves come in the night. And what he's saying here is this. If you know what time a thief is coming, then you can do what? You can get ready for him. You can prepare, right? You can set some kind of a trap or something to catch that. You can have the police all stand around. The thing about a thief is that you'd never know when they're going to come around. That thief wasn't so clever. If I was a thief and the lights are on and there's someone going around, I don't think I would go there. Plus, Anthony knows karate. If the man of the house knew that the thief was coming, then he would have prepared, is the point. But you don't know. And the thing with the Lord and His return, you don't know. It could be next week. If we knew it was next week, what would we do? There would be a lot of repentance, I think. Forgive me. There would be a lot of people forgiving one another, making up with one another. Right? This place would change if people knew the Lord was coming back next week, wouldn't it? There's a story of a man who went to a certain school. And he told the students that he was going to give a prize for the student who had the cleanest desk, the cleanest area around their place. And so, some of the students asked him, they were a bit clever, "Well, when are you coming to give the prize?" The man said, "I'm not going to tell you. I just come at a time you don't know, and I'll give you a prize, whoever has the cleanest desk." The student said, "Okay." There was a certain girl in the class who was a bit messy. She was known for always having her things all around her place there, her desk. And she said to the other students, "I'm going to win the prize." The other students said, "You, Gui, look at your desk. That's messy." She said, "Well, I have a plan. At the beginning of every week, I'm going to clean my desk." The student said, "Well, what if the man comes at the end of the week?" The girl said, "Aha. At the beginning of every day, I'm going to clean my desk." The other student said, "What if he comes at the end of the day?" So the girl sat there and thought for a while. She says, "I know what I'll do. I'll just keep my desk clean. I'll just keep my desk clean so that any time he comes, he'll find it clean." And today many of us are saying, "I have a long life ahead of me. I know there are some things right now that I need to deal with, but I'll wait until the last moment, clean it, and then Jesus will come back for me." He is coming at a time you do not expect. You don't know. Some people will be sleeping. Some people will be working. The day of the Lord is going to come. And the real question this morning that I have from the Word of God is, are you ready? Has your life been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ? Are you doing things that you would be ashamed of if the Lord came back? Don't wait until the beginning of the week to clean. Don't wait until the beginning of the day to clean. Make your life clean today. I wrote down some verses there in your notes. We're not going to go into them today. That's for another time. Especially when we get to the book of Revelation. Amen. This is 1 Thessalonians. We started, I think, back in Romans. We're just going verse by verse through the Bible. We may skip ahead. I don't know. It's not a law. But we're getting to the book of Revelation. We're going to study it. We're not going to be afraid here at Calvary Chapel of the book of Revelation. Amen. If you've read it before, you know why I said that. We're going to study that thing and learn what the Lord has to say. Because he didn't write his Bible in a language that we can't understand. He wrote it so that we could understand it. Praise the Lord. The day of the Lord really is speaking of a time of judgment. Those of us who believe in Jesus Christ will not experience that. We talked about that last week. The rapture, we will be taken away to be with the Lord. While the earth experiences a time of judgment that has not been seen ever in its history. If you're interested, Revelation chapter 6 through chapter 19, you can read all those things. But the day of the Lord is not bad for believers. Did you see what it said in verse 4? You, brethren, you are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. You, have you believed in Jesus Christ? Have you put your faith in him? Has he saved you from your sins? Then you are now in the light. You are not in the darkness. The guy who came to Anthony's house, he found him in the light. And it's not really talking about a physical light. It's talking about our relationship with the Lord. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who abides in me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And then Jesus turned to his disciples. He said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a lamp and put it underneath a basket. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We used to be darkness. I'm talking about our lifestyle, what we used to do. Darkness equals sin. Light equals righteousness in our context here. We used to be living in darkness, doing the works of darkness, the Bible said. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, you were once darkness. Now you are light in the Lord. But Jesus saved us and he changed us. He came inside of us, and if he is the light of the world and he lives inside of us, that means he turned the light on. Amen. He lives in us. And we are in the light. That day will not overtake us as a thief because we're ready. We're ready for the Lord's return. Are you ready? I'm ready. I've been thinking about this all week. Yeah, I don't usually think about the return of the Lord, unfortunately. I don't usually think about those end times events. I'm usually thinking about something else, or, you know, even if I'm thinking about the Lord. But I've been thinking about these things. This isn't just something that is, you know, just encourages us, but it's not real. It's not a fairy tale. Makes us feel good, but it really isn't going to happen. These things are going to happen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you're going to hear a trumpet. You're going to hear a voice. You're going to go up. I hope, most of you. It's not bad for us, the day of the Lord. Those verses we read, there are many more. Isaiah and book of Joel, Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 14 through 18. That's not something we're going to experience because Jesus has already taken our punishment, our judgment. Praise the Lord. In verse 6 is really a call to action to live our lives preparing for the day of the Lord. We've seen that the day will come suddenly, a judgment, time of judgment will be included in that. We've seen that we will not be partakers of that judgment, those of us who believe in Jesus. But we do have a responsibility this morning to live our lives in such a way that we are prepared for the return of Jesus Christ. Amen? Some people think that getting saved is like you go forward and you say a prayer and then you kind of get a ticket to heaven. So that when I die, then I can go to heaven because I got the saved ticket. So they go forward, say a prayer. Yes, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Okay. And they get the ticket. And then their life is the same. It shouldn't be that way in our lives. After you accept Jesus Christ, listen, this is not my word, this is the word of God. Your life should be different. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. New. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. I have been crucified with Christ, the Bible says. Nevertheless, I live. I'm still alive. But it's not I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's our life now. And as we know about the day of the Lord, the rapture, we're going to learn more in the book of Revelation and so on. As we learn about these end times events, our lives should be changed. We should prepare ourselves. The Lord is coming. You know it now. There are people out there who don't know it. There are churches, when they get to these verses, they get afraid and skip over. I almost did that. I almost got afraid. Ask Pastor Josh. But the Lord wants us to know these things so that we live according to them. So that we are comforted by them, the Bible says. Comfort one another with these things. Jesus Christ is coming back for you. Does that make you feel good? Jesus is coming back. Does that make you feel good, or does it make you scared? That's a good indication of where your heart is, where your life is. People say, I want Jesus to come back, just not today. If you just wait another week. First of all, don't sleep. Sleep here is talking about our walk with the Lord, our spiritual state. It's not talking about a physical sleep. Again, I draw on Pastor or Brother Anthony's time. He wasn't asleep. And spiritually, let us not sleep as others are doing. There are people who are asleep spiritually. They're not watching. They're not waiting. They're not living their lives as if the Lord could return the next day. It says, let us not sleep, verse 6, as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Watching, waiting, expecting Jesus to come back for us. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at the night. This is actually a good insight into the behavior of those who are wicked, who lead wicked lifestyles. If you go to Club Silk during the day, you don't find many people there, I don't think. I don't know. I haven't been there during the day. Maybe I'm wrong. I haven't been there at night either. So, but if you go at night, you're going to find people getting drunk. Doing things that the Lord does not want people to do, disobeying Him. These things they do at night, the Bible says. Let's not be involved with those things that people do wickedly at night or any other time, is what he's saying here. Drunkenness is just one of many things. Right? You know. I know. Just one of many things. Don't get involved with the things of this world, the wicked things that people are doing, the wicked lifestyles that people are leading. Don't be part of that. But today there is a temptation, isn't there? Especially for you young guys. I said you young guys because I'm an older man, an older pastor. Us young guys. They tell me here in Uganda that you're a boy until you get married. And then after you're married, then you become a man. Is that true? So, the pastoral staff, majority are men here at the church. One is well on his way. Sorry about that. But for us young people, there is a temptation in this city more and more. I've been here only for 3 years, but even from the time that I've been here, the time I got here up until today, there has been an increase in temptation to do these wicked things. Is that true? An increase in pornography. An increase in sexual materials. An increase in discos and nightclubs. An increase in drunkenness. There's been an increase. And let's be honest with ourselves. Those are temptations for many of us. It is a temptation to do what everybody else is doing. Isn't it? If all of your friends are saying, hey, let's go and get some girls and get drunk, and you say, no, I don't want to do that, how will you feel? It's a temptation. It's a draw. That's why this morning I want you to think about the day of the Lord. In fact, when your friends ask you that, you can say, well, can I read a couple of scriptures to you? This is why I don't want to go with you. Because the day of the Lord is coming like a thief in the night. Because one day you're going to be drinking, one day you're going to be partying, one day you're going to be laughing, and the Lord is going to come back. Jesus said about the day of the Lord in Matthew chapter 24, as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. See what Jesus said? The world will be business as usual. It's not going to be a countdown. All right, 30 more days until the Lord comes. Let's have a good time and then everything will be going. In fact, I said this last time, he could come back next week. Tomorrow. He could come back tomorrow. Today. After the service is over. Now, during the service. And I would be happy. I would be glad. Because that is my hope. I'm not living for this world. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Praise the Lord. That's my hope. Is that what you're living for? The return of Jesus? This isn't our home. Don't get involved. Don't get too attached to the things of this world. Like Lot's wife. The Bible says, remember Lot's wife. You know what she did? She lived in Sodom. And she had a lot of friends there. And one day, the Lord sends his angels. The Lord himself was there. And he said, get out of this city. I'm going to destroy it. Because their wickedness has come up to heaven. Let me tell you something. The wickedness of this world is going up to heaven today. I'm going to destroy it. So get out. Run away. And do you remember as they were running away, do you remember what Lot's wife did? She looked back. Oh. Looking back, longing for those things that she had there in Sodom. Do I really want to run away from all of that that I love? When the Lord comes to get you, are you going to be looking back at some things that you really love here? The Bible says, don't be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Who are your friends? Who are those people you spend most time with? What do they do? What do they love? Where do they go at nighttime? What do they do at night? Don't be deceived. If you're with them, you will be like them. I have told you this before, but before I was saved, I was like them. And there was one boy in particular that I used to spend time with who was very bad. I don't know what else to say. He did everything you can imagine, drugs and alcohol and theft and lying and everything. And one man who was kind of a mentor to me, who wanted to see me do better than I was doing, he said about that other boy, he said, you know, I see you spending a lot of time with that guy. I said, yeah, he's my friend. He said, what do you do? Do you do bad things? I said, no bad things. And then he told me, birds of a feather flock together. You know what that means? You don't see a chicken flying around with geese. Whoever you spend time with, that is who you will be like. It goes on to say, in our preparation for the day of the Lord, us believers, in verse 8, those of us who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Three things, we've seen them before in our study. Faith, hope, and love. Faith in God. That's really where it all starts. Believing in Jesus, accepting Him as your Lord and Savior, and living for Him. The life of faith will lead to a life of love. Love toward the believers and love towards God. If anyone says that he loves his God and hates his brother, he's a liar, the Bible says. So if we love God, if we have faith in God, we'll love one another. And finally, we have the hope, like a helmet. These pieces of armor. We have the hope of salvation. That means this. We know that word hope doesn't mean, oh, I hope so. Like it could be, it couldn't be. I just hope it is. No. That's not what the word hope means. That word hope is a sure thing, guaranteed, without a doubt. That is our hope, our expectation. We have the hope of salvation. That means this. When you read about the day of the Lord and your mind starts to think you're going to get judged, you're going to be the one suffering, put on the helmet of the hope of salvation, protecting you from those thoughts. No, Jesus has saved me and I'm going to be with Him. I will never be judged. We have that assurance. And it says, verse 9, God did not appoint us to wrath. Us is talking about those who have put their faith in Him. We're not going to be part of that judgment, that time of judgment on this earth. But to obtain salvation to our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 10, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Remember Jesus. Remember Jesus. And it says, verse 11, that we should comfort or encourage one another, edify one another, just as you are also doing. So as we leave one another this morning, I want to give you that word of encouragement, that word of comfort, that we would be together as believers. I mentioned those other people who are wicked. We're spending time with them. Well, there is a new group of people that we can spend time with. Amen? There is a new group of people that you have, that we can spend time with. A new family. And it's called the family of God. The church of Jesus Christ. And look around you here today. We are all ready to spend time with you so we can encourage each other in the Lord. We're all ready. You may say, I don't know that person over there. Well, here's a way to solve that. Go to the person and say, hello, how are you? Fine, how are you? How's home? Fine. My name is Brian. What's your name? And then you can get to know somebody. Amen? Are you ready? There's going to be an examination. After the service, I'm watching each one of you. Are you going to get to know someone here today? We have a new family and we are called to encourage each other. When you're all by yourself, it is hard to stand. But when you're together with other people, you can stand. You can wait. You can watch. You can be ready for the Lord's return. Let's stand together.